Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. I'm Steve Jones, the guy that fouled up the possibility of having Gary Danielson on the show tomorrow. My schedule prevented it. But we will try. Sean is working so hard to get people on. We will try to get Gary Danielson on maybe Friday.
We're hoping for Friday, yes.
But I am the reason we can't do it tomorrow.
Well, we picked the... Pick the worst day of the week for you. I mean, you know, you bob from assignment to assignment, and, you know, hey, it's part of the deal. We'll make it happen.
I understand that, but
absolutely.
It's my fault.
No.
No, it's I know you're trying to work it out, but it's just between TV and quarterback club, Wednesday is not hard.
It's not like you're out there tomorrow morning shooting nine holes. Then that's a completely different deal.
Actually, the TV show Quarterback Club thing is a ruse. No. I didn't think they'd ever catch on. But my handicap is now, too. It's like going up to the suit and asking how sales were today, and he's giving you a review of the movie Jason Bourne. All right, so...
And it's only the first of the month.
What?
It's all uphill from here.
There we go. Fabulous. I'm glad you enjoyed the movie. What does that have to do with sales? Wait a minute. Maybe he went to the movie. All right. Great to have you with us today. And... We're going to have, now Neil Coulong is going to be on the show today. And I believe we're going to have Donnie Collins on today. So we'll go from there. And your calls, as always, get everybody up to date on what's going on. And Thursday will be our high school football roundtable, the playoff edition. It must be difficult figuring out point values on Friday night to make sure who was in and where they were playing. I'm sure the post-game show was filled with how many points do you get because you played a double versus a triple-A team.
Yeah, it was a very fluid situation. It didn't take long, though. Actually, when we had the Service Electric Cablevision post-game show with head coach Derek Hicks over on Eagle 107, it was barely not even 5 minutes after their game was done. He goes, I'm told we'll be playing Shikellamy. And I'm trying to do the mathematics in my head. Okay, how is that going to shake out? Because I was still thinking that Sewell's Grove would be the number one seed facing Athens this Friday night, but then they flipped down to a two seed, and so they'll have the home game with Shikellamy. Friday.
Well, Athens is a long trip. You got to go by plane. Athens. I'm sorry.
Well, the two factors that really made the Sewell's Grove Shikellamy rematch happen a week earlier. Some people thought it'd be next week for the district final, but right. Coming up a week earlier, a lot had to do with the Little Brown Jug game with Mifflinburg Lewisburg. Since Mifflinburg lost last week, that took some bonus points. With Lewisburg winning, that took some bonus points away from Sewell's Grove. And Jersey Shore getting that win over 5A Central Mountain, that tipped it too. Right there, they were able to get some bonus points out of that and leap up to the top seed.
And remember, it was 2 years ago, the suit verbally destroyed the Jersey Shore program, and they have been on a roll ever since. It's amazing, you know, and it posted up there, like, you know, and to then at the bottom say who delivered the quote, the suit. Yeah, he doesn't understand the power that he has. So all right. Definitely have Neil Coulong today, and we're also going to have Donnie Collins on the show today. So we're looking forward to that and talk to you about the everything that's going on.
And now less than 5 hours away from the World Series tonight. See if the Indians can clinch at home this evening. See if Jake Arrieta can even the series for the Cubbies. Arrieta and Tomlin tonight.
You know what's interesting about that is that you go back to the American League Park, and normally it's like, hey, great, you know, hey, we're the Red Sox. We can now use David Ortiz. It's the Cubs that are excited about the fact that they get to go back to the American League Park. They get to now use
Country Strong.
Kyle Schwarber.
The DH, yeah.
Somebody explain to me, how did Indiana get him? Seriously. How did Indiana get him? Indiana's had some really good baseball players. I mean, Alex Dickerson, who's starting for the Padres, I mean, he was the Big Ten Player of the Year, Indiana product. I know all about him. He played for the Spikes, obviously, because he started his career in the Cardinal organization. But still, that's...
I know it's complete speculation, but boy, if he would have had a full season to play this year, I'm curious what his numbers would be.
Right. No doubt. No doubt. So
he got hurt game three in the first two games of the season back in April, didn't get a hit.
Right, exactly. So all of his hits have been in the postseason. Now, here's a great trivia question. This doesn't relate at all to Schwarber. All right, but name the only guy in professional sports who was the postseason MVP the season before he was the Rookie of the Year. Is that a good question?
Wow. The year before he was Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. Name the one guy that was the postseason MVP the year before he was named his league's Rookie of the Year.
So we're talking any of the major sports. This could be football, baseball, basketball, hockey.
Right, exactly.
Oh, boy. I don't know. You may have to wait till 4:58 to give us the answer. It'll take a while on this one.
We'll let everybody think about that for a while.
Yeah, let's marinate on that one.
Yeah, this is, I've always found this to be one of the great trivia questions. This individual
you've had this on the shelf for a while. You just didn't... This just didn't pop up today.
No, I've used this years ago. This is easy. Okay. So the question is, who was the playoff MVP the season before he was named his league's Rookie of the Year?
Do I get four guesses, like one player per sport?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Babe Ruth.
No.
Okay. Wilt Chamberlain.
No.
I'm just kind of throwing darts out.
Yes, you are.
It should take a little more time.
Okay, so that's two.
I have a call coming in. Maybe someone wants to guess. Check it out.
Okay.
We'll check it out.
All right. Yeah, go ahead. Check that out. I always found that to be fascinating. The Rookie of the Year, he was the playoff MVP before he was Rookie of the Year. So. I'll move that one there. I think I know what somebody would guess, but it would not be, you know. But I always found this to be one of the more fascinating. You know, and it's just pure trivia. And I will point out that this guy was a great player his entire career. Okay? In his sport, he was a great player his entire career. This was not a one-hit wonder. In fact, in his sport, he is a Hall of Famer.
Okay, well, I didn't pick out two one-hit wonders there, but
No, you did not. Not even close. No.
So we have Chris and Shamokin Dam. He wanted to take a stab at the trivia question, and he also has a Penn State question, too.
All right. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Steve. How about Kenny Dryden?
That's exactly right.
How about that?
Kenny Dryden was the Conn Smythe Award winner, I want to say, in 71, and he was the Calder Award winner as the Rookie of the Year in 72.
Yep.
Excellent, Chris.
Hey, I'm going to be at the game on Saturday because of special events that are going on.
Military Appreciation Night?
Yes, sir. I appreciate Penn State honoring all the vets out there. They did a great job.
Cannot begin to tell you what it means to me to salute vets. It's incredible.
And, Steve, I have a trivia question for you.
Okay.
Of what professional athlete was the first to get a seven-figure buyout of his contract?
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that. I do not know the answer to that. Who was the first to get a seven-figure buyout?
Same sport as Ken Dryden, and he's from the New England area. Eric Sanderson.
Derek played for the Philadelphia Blazers. Yeah, yep. The WHA. Derek the Turk Sanderson.
And he had to agree. Part of the buyout was that he couldn't defame the WHA anymore.
It's not easy to do, man.
No, that
takes some discipline. That's good. I like
Derek
that.
Sanderson.
Yeah. Well, you know what? But Derek Sanderson and Bobby Orr had a bet as to who would get married first. And the loser had to give, now the loser ends up being the winner. They got married, but had to give the other one, like, I don't know, like $10,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
And Orr got married first. And Sanderson took 10,000 $1 bills and dumped it in Orr's locker.
Did you ever hear the story about Joe Namath and Ed Marinaro?
No.
They were at a bar when they were both single, and Joe, of course, was the number one ladies' man. And about 2 in the morning, Joe left, and Ed Marinaro stopped him on his way out. He said, "Joe, all my life I've looked up to you as the number one ladies' man, and you're leaving with a 7. And Joe's answer said, "If Miss America hasn't come through the door by now, she's not."
Oh, goodness. Wow. I'll tell you, Ed Marinaro, by the way, was a great running back at Cornell. I think people don't realize, you see his acting career, which is good, including that show he's
Hill
up
Street Blues.
Yeah, Hill Street Blues, yeah, in Chicago. Well, I don't think people realize that Ed Marinaro was a great running back at Cornell. Then he went to the Vikings. But he was the runner-up to Pat Sullivan for the Heisman Trophy.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
All right, nice talking with you, Steve.
Great talking with you. I look forward to seeing you at the game Saturday night.
Be great. Thank you.
We will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us today. Game 6 of the World Series is tonight. Good pitching matchup. Jake Arrieta for the Cubs and Josh Tomlin on the mound for the Cleveland Indians, which is not good news for Javi Baez. Unless he hangs a breaking ball, then Baez can cream it. They have to somehow tell Baez that the dirt is not the strike zone. Javi just below the knees. Then up just above the waist. There we go. Because he's chasing balls in the dirt left and right. As soon as he gets a strike on him, he can't handle it. Like he gets a strike, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I got to swing at something. No, 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 no. Just slow down. Very talented player. Great tags around the bag. Now, he's actually naturally left-handed, which really, that kind of helps him a little bit around the bag. And some guys just play opposite hand. Phil Mickelson, for example, he's right-handed, plays golf left-handed. Baez turns out he's a left-handed individual that, for whatever reason, plays the game right-handed. Well, in some ways, that helps you. It's a dominant hand, dominant arm. Well, it turns out that the dominant hand he has, right, happens to be his glove hand. There's some really good young players in this series. Lindor is just great to watch. Baez is fun. Interestingly, they're going to change the batting order tonight. The Cubs will. Bryant has been hitting in the two-hole all season. Schwarber's hitting second tonight. Bryant's hitting third. Rizzo's hitting fourth. So Joe Maddon, who was really stuck to the same formula for the most part. Yeah, they moved Baez up in the order a little bit when he got hot against the Dodgers. But they're going to change the batting order up tonight. They're going to move Bryant down to three. They're going to move Rizzo to four. They're going to put Schwarber in the two-hole. Wilson Contreras is going to catch tonight. So they're making changes. And Fox will get great ratings out of it tonight because the championship can be decided tonight or a Game 7. And if there's a Game 7 tomorrow night, Fox is going to get incredible ratings. So, it's baseball couldn't have asked for it to be better. Another drop last night in the ratings for Monday Night Football over last year. Now, last night you had the Bears, and Jay Cutler, for some reason, is not considered to be a popular player among the populace of America.
I didn't expect that score, though. Man, where's the offense going for the Vikings? Just disappearing the last couple of
days. South.
Ooh.
South. The Eagles showed everybody what you could do up front against them. That's really the bottom line. The Eagles showed what they can do up front against the Vikings. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Still to come, Neil Coulong on the Pittsburgh Steelers as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. And our number, 1-800-795-9565. Just as a point to Sean, we have to sometimes do some cleaning up on the air. I have a red dot, and you know what that means. So, okay. So let's get to this day in sports history. And on this day in sports history, naturally, of course, I call it this day in sports history, and I get the college football team points per game rankings. No, really? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to work on the show that we're going to get, that that's what we want. So, go someplace else here. But when you look at... Oh, right. I'll say this, it is determined to give me Louisville, by the way, is at 56 points per game. Or excuse me, 50 points per game. Washington's 46.9. So, just in case you weren't sure about, you know, what the numbers were. There you go, Sean. That works. Oh, old friend of mine with the call on the call of the day today. going back to our days at Michigan, when he was at Michigan. We'll reveal that at 4:06. All right, let's get to it. This day in sports history, 1913, Notre Dame beat Army 35-13. It was the first time the forward pass was used as a primary offensive weapon in football. Who was the quarterback? Newt Rockne. He was the quarterback. 1959, Jacques Plante of the Montreal Canadiens became the first goalie in the NHL to wear a mask. In other words, the first one to have common sense. I remember a game, boy, this had to be maybe the late 60s. Johnny Bauer was the goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they're playing the Bruins. And I can't remember which Bruin took the shot. I don't know if it was Orr, Esposito, Kenny Hodge, somebody, okay? And it hit him right in the forehead. Boom. And he just went down. And blood in the ice and the whole thing. I'm thinking, well, wear a mask. Jerry Cheevers had a mask for the Bruins where everywhere the puck hit, they took red and they outlined it as a stitch. Great mask. Cheevers threw out a pitch, the opening ceremonial first pitch of a Spikes Lowell Spinners game once up in Lowell. 1964, the great Jim Brown of the Cleveland Browns became the first NFL player to exceed 10,000 yards rushing in his career. 2010, the Giants won their first World Series since moving to California. They beat the Texas Rangers in five games, and that started a streak of winning three World Series in a five-year span by the Giants. Not a lot of stars. Bumgarner, obviously, Buster Posey, but great manager and a lot of really good players. Three World Series in 5 years. Four. The San Francisco Giants. There you go. That's this day in sports history. Plus the added bonus that we now know that Louisville's averaging 50 points a game. There we go. Thought that worked out well for everybody. Here it is, November 1st. How about that? We have clicked off 10 full months of the year. We're now headed to November. Now we're now into November. And it's interesting. Penn State plays three night games this year. Two of the three are in November. Welcome to television. Television is the reason why you don't know the kickoff time for Indiana. Television is the reason why the game is at night on Saturday. Television is, and it's going to be a nice day Saturday, so it's going to work out fine. Television is the reason they're playing Rutgers at night. Same thing. It also works out fine for me. I can do basketball, football same day. But still, TV is the deal. This has nothing to do with Penn State. Nothing to do with at all. Penn State has no say over this. No say over the kickoff time. None of it. So they have no say on it. And the same thing, we're waiting to see, by the way, when the Indiana kickoff time is. We're not going to probably find out till Sunday. Okay. And it's, that's just the way it is.
There's at least one game. There's at least one November game every year, maybe two, where they use that six-day window instead of the 12.
Yeah, but this is the third time they've used it this year. Yeah. They should be. In other words, they should be out of it. My understanding was they only had three. This is the third time they've done this. You can't keep doing this to fans. You just can't. It's one of the things that when Notre Dame went to it and broke away from everybody and did their NBC deal, the one part of that I always respected above all was the fact that they could tell everybody in June and July, here you go, this is what time the game's going to kick off at home. Now, that was independent of their own deal. But Penn State, again, has nothing to do with this. Zero. They're completely at bay as to, you know, you kick when you're told to kick.
So going back to the Notre Dame-NBC deal, does Notre Dame still have, do they have a say as to when, or is that completely a network deal, network call there as well?
Well, they talk about it as to when they're going to do with it, but everybody knows in June and July when it is. There's no six-day window on Notre Dame home games. The kickoff times are determined in the off season.
I was just curious if that was completely NBC says it's going to be 3:30.
Yeah. Well, if NBC says to them, I'd like to put this game in prime time, they go, okay, let's put it in prime time. Great, it's going to be 7:30. But they tell everybody in June. Instead of telling them, now Ohio State, everybody knew in advance. In Iowa and Rutgers, everybody did know in advance. But for example, the Indiana game's coming up. It won't be a night game. But nobody knows what the kickoff time is on that game. Okay, it's a road game, so it doesn't really matter to me. I could care less. It affects the Indiana fans. It doesn't affect Penn State fans. But this is what I laughed about last year. And I laughed about it. When Penn State had the wrestling match with Ohio State, you know how many wrestling fans came up to me and complained it started at 6 o'clock? I'm looking at them like, you're complaining to me? I'm sorry, but you have no complaint. Okay? You want to know what our lives are? Oh, 6 days in advance, we find out 3 times a year when the game kicks off, what time we go on the air, home or away. Let's see, basketball this year. You want to know the tip-off times for basketball? Listen to this. The tip-off times for basketball this year are 11 a.m., noon, 12:30, 1, 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7, 8, 8:30, 9 o'clock. Those are all the tip-off times this year. And the reason is this. Penn State football and Penn State basketball are TV shows. Okay? You have networks that are trying to fill time slots, trying to get the best matchups, the highest ratings, and things like that. It's all part of the game. But you're a TV show. And I've gone through this for years. Now, Penn State's going to play at Wisconsin at 9 o'clock at night on a weeknight. They're going to play at Nebraska at 9 o'clock on a weeknight. Now, again, for me, the announcer, it's really irrelevant, completely irrelevant. I just got to get on the plane. I go. So, yeah, I don't complain. But these, but you know, and conversely, these players come here and they have to play night games too. These are student athletes. I don't care whether they're Penn State or if Nebraska comes here and plays a 9 o'clock game. He's still got to go back. He's still got to go to class the next day. At least you're supposed to. And here, they keep track of it. But in order to make money to support everybody, football and men's basketball, the TV money from that is an important component in supporting what everybody else does. So you can give out scholarships in all the other sports, and they can travel in all the other sports too. But last year, I can't believe they started at 6 o'clock. It's because TV told you to start at 6. Okay? Welcome to our world. Okay? Okay? Welcome to the world we've been in for years. They told you to start at 6. Guess what? You started at 6. It's not good for you. It wasn't good for the wrestling fan the night. Traffic was backed up. I remember driving down College Avenue, how far back the traffic was backed up. A lot of people didn't get in to see the beginning. It's not great. Okay? But if you want TV exposure for the sport, and how many wrestling fans have we heard? I want more wrestling matches on TV. They put one on TV, you didn't like the time they picked. Well, guess what? You think everybody's enamored here about playing Nebraska at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night in basketball? Were you going to get back at about 3 or 4 in the morning? But that's been the story on basketball and football for years and years and years. Like hockey people complain, you know, Friday, Saturday is the best day. That's traditional. Can't believe they schedule us on a Tuesday night. They schedule on Tuesday night because TV said you're going to play on Tuesday night. Okay, you can't complain that my sport isn't on TV enough, and then when they put your sport on TV, you don't like the day and time they picked. TV runs the show. Next year it'll be Fox and FS1 to go with ESPN and CBS and BTN. But, you know, did you hear all the tip-off times I gave you? Those are all the tip-off times.
Well, you're now into your fourth decade of calling Penn State men's basketball. And let's face it, pre-Big Ten Network, how many times could you see Penn State men's basketball on TV during the year?
Yeah, they had to cobble together before BTN a syndicated network, and that's how they do it. Usually, it was now it's Root Sports, so whatever the outlet out of Pittsburgh happens to be, they were part of it. There was a station in Harrisburg, I think Wolf TV and Scranton Wilkes-Barre carried it. Philadelphia was a little bit tougher nut for them to crack, but again, Here, I'll give it to you here.
Well, it's just great now that you have Big Ten Network, but you're right. You're talking about the 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Games, so they can create those conference game, you know, those conference doubleheader nights.
Yeah, but these are, you know, you're a TV show.
Yep.
Okay, so now listen, this is football this year. Football this year, 3:30, noon, 3:30, noon, 8 o'clock, noon, 7:30, unknown, 8 o'clock, and unknown, but most likely 3:30. Okay? That's football this year. Okay, now let's get to basketball. Well, listen to the basketball schedule. Okay? Here are the tip-off times for basketball this year. Okay? 7, 6, 7, 12:30, either 1 or 3, it's a tournament. 7, 4, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 2 o'clock, okay, 2:30, 11 a.m., 5 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 2:30, 8:30, 12:30, noon, 7 o'clock, noon, 9 o'clock, 4:30, 6:30, 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock, noon, 8:30, 1 o'clock. Okay, those are the tip-off times. Okay, show me the consistency there. I mean, that's amazing, don't you think?
And again, to stress, it doesn't affect you in no way, shape, or form. You're there regardless.
I could care less.
Yeah.
My argument has always been for the fans. It is never.
Absolutely.
About me. Zero.
Right.
I mean, I'm the professional. This is my job. I'm supposed to be there. I'm going to be there. And whatever. Zero complaint on my part. That's my job. Okay. You pay money to go to games. You have to pay to park. You have to come up with what time you're supposed to leave to go to a game. Things like that. My complaint has always been about the fan on their behalf. Me? I'm a professional. My job is to show up what time the game starts. No complaint for me at all. That's my job. I've got the candy store jobs. I got it. Nobody knows that better than I do. And I just think they make it awfully tough. TV is great for the fan to watch games on TV. It's awesome. at the same time, they make it tough these days for the fan to get to the game that wants to be there. And there's so much, it's so much better being there. You're part of the ambiance, the excitement. Let's face it, how many of you went to see Penn State, Ohio State, and you're never going to forget the experience the rest of your life? And you're going to tell everybody that watched it on TV, I was there. Now, that's the cool part. You know, wrestling fans, that when once you finally got into the Jordan Center for Ohio State, Penn State, all the people that watched on TV, it looked awesome on TV, I was there. Okay, that's big. But I'm saying, though, it's a, but the wrestling fans, like, I can't believe they just, excuse me, but this is what happens in football and basketball for years. It used to be pretty consistent. You play Wednesday and Saturday in basketball. And maybe it was a big deal once in a while you play on a Tuesday, be a nationally televised game. But now you're on TV for every game, which is really good. But at the same time, you are scattered all over the lot. And those, you know, I didn't even give you the days of the week. I mean, the days of the week, I mean, are not consistent either. Let's see. Basketball, days of the week. Yeah, that's the wrong chart. Let's see. Basketball, days of the week. Let's see. Start out with a Friday. Yeah. I think Monday's the only day they don't play. So for basketball, you have Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Sunday, Wednesday.
I'm trying to catch up. I'm writing these down. I'm at Tuesday.
The only day of the week they don't, well, actually, they don't play Thursday, do they? There's no Thursday game this
That's
year.
Weird. Usually there is one or two mixed in for BTN.
So no Monday, no Thursday. Last year they played each one of the 7 days of the week last year. Because remember that Ohio State game was on a Monday last year out there. So it's just you're all over the lot. Like I said, they don't in the two major sports, they don't make it they make it attractive to be a fan because of the great matchups. But they also make it, I'm talking about TV does, because the schools have nothing to do with it. But difficult to be a fan like, okay, what night are we playing, what time? All right. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. To the top of the hour, then our play-by-play call today to be followed by Neil Kulong to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Might Ben Roethlisberger play this week? And if he does, how effective might he be? Past history could give us a clue to that. Neil and I will talk about that in the next half hour. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.